Lord be with the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This morning, what was read for the epistle lesson, the first lesson, comes out of Jeremiah, kind of getting us in the mood for the Advent season, the preparation for the coming of the Lord. As we look, and Advent is one of those times that the church year treats it a little bit differently than the world, although the world has a portion of it, because part of Advent looks for the coming of the Lord, and as we see that in His first coming, His Nativity. And so I believe the world does that quite well, is the rush up to Christmas. Now, the reason the world does it is, of course, because of monetary gain. But you can still see a little portion of that. I mean, the reason that we do have a holiday in December, against everything to call it a holiday party or a winter festival or whatever, the reason that there is a holiday in December is because of the Nativity of our Lord. We couldn't just move this and say, well, let's just have the holiday in September and get the same type of following. That is the reason, no matter what the modern world tries to tell us, that is the reason. It is because of the Nativity of our Lord. And so the world pushes us along in the preparation for the coming of the Lord, and we can see that a little bit. But Advent also looks for the preparation of the Lord's return as well, His second Advent, His second coming, if you will. And so, throughout the season, even though this is the Sunday before, throughout the season of Advent, you will see these two themes. As we see the presents in the Christmas tree, we look back towards the Nativity, but we also look forward to prepare our hearts for His second coming as well. And Jeremiah opens us up with looking that there is a promised one coming. And we can say today that there is not only a promised one who has come, but He is returning. And what we are doing is we are following and we are doing what God has called us to do, and we are doing what our Lord has called us to do in that in-between time. We're not just sitting around waiting. We are expectantly waiting. We are still doing and still working and still reaching out as He has called us to do. Not because of His second coming, because of His first coming, we look forward to His second coming as well. So there is one coming. Jeremiah promises us that there is one who will be raised up, a righteous branch. Now, in Scripture, tree language is used a whole lot. Especially if you go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, you can see this tree or vine language that is used a lot. The collect for today speaks of fruit, another tree reference. In fact, the collect of today asks the Lord to stir up our wills. Alan, when he walked in this morning, said, "This is Stir Up Sunday." And oftentimes it is referred to that as Stir Up Sunday because of the title of the collect. To stir up our wills. Now, notice that the collect does not ask for new wills. It assumes that we are already in church. The prayer at the beginning here assumes that we have received the gift of baptism. It assumes that those saying the prayer would be members of the church, would have a relationship with our Lord, and would be on the road to salvation. That's the assumption of the collect. And so it asks not for new wills as one who had not yet received the grace of baptism. It doesn't ask for new wills as one who had never heard would ask. Instead, it asks us to stir up our wills, because we understand that we need to be re-energized. We need to be moved yet again. Because in our human condition, we get comfortable where we are. We get in a rut, so to speak. And we are very happy, unless something happens on an outside of us, we are very happy continuing as we would. I believe it is one of Newton's laws of motion that talks about unless an object is acted on by an outside force, it will basically stop. Now, that's the problem with being complacent. We are happy with how we are. We are happy with what we are. And unless we are acting on an outside source, we will not just continue. We will eventually stop and cease and just kind of sit there. But we pray on this Sunday, after hearing the words of the Scripture, we pray that our Lord would stir up our wheels. Not give us new ones, but to stir up the wheels that He has given us so we can be energized. Advent looks to do that if we will let it. Now, bear with me just for a little bit, because I know when I first say this, the majority are going to disagree. If we're willing to hear the sounds of the season, Advent can stir up our wheels. There are two voices we can listen to this Advent season. We can listen only to the ringing of the cash register and get caught up in the mire of the commercialization of Christmas, and we can join that argument and we can fight that battle and we can be like Don Quixote fighting the windmills, because let me tell you something, Walmart is not going to close tomorrow. And as long as there is money to be made, the registers will ring at Christmas, okay? And so we can fight it, we can battle it, and I know sometimes it is good not to just light a candle in the darkness, but to curse the darkness as well, because sometimes we need to do that to remind us we're all, you know, what the way things should be. So there is that sound. But what I would say is go to the root of that. Go to the root of even the people who do not understand why they're buying gifts. We go back to the very beginning of this. We could just all of a sudden tomorrow decide, you know what, we're going to move everything into September or November or October or whatever, and it wouldn't get the following. There is something within the very heart of us that Christmas pulls along. It is grace, if you will. Prevenient grace. Grace that even people do not understand the generosity of this season. Because I believe it is that supernatural grace that speaks to the heart, even to those who do not understand the language and cannot hear, except for some reason during this season we're supposed to be nicer to one another. So what I'm saying, for those of us who know, go beyond that and listen maybe to another bell. Instead of the ringing of the cash register, maybe outside to the ringing of the Salvation Army bell. It calls us to spread God's love, because that is what has been spread for us during this season. Remember, we look to this because a righteous branch has been raised. This season that we're fixing to enter into can stir up our wills if we will listen and if we will let it. If we get beyond that that's on the outside, if we delve deeper, we can hear and we can receive that Christmas joy, if you will, to pawn an old cliche. We can hear it. Our wills can be stirred up if we can cut through that fog and see the truth of Christmas. Now notice, though, our wills are stirred up for a specific reason, so that we can bring forth the fruit of good works. To bring forth the fruit of good works. That's why our wills need to be stirred up. That's why we need to be re-energized. That's why we need to be put back on the path. Because remember, we will clog down, we will stop, we will cease to move forward unless they are stirred up. Stirred up for what? Just so we can be saved? Stirred up just so one day we can attain heaven? No, stirred up so we can do what God is calling us to do, so that we can bring forth the fruit that is the result of us being attached to a branch or a tree. The fruit is not the tree. The fruit is not the branch. The fruit is the result of that. And the fruit is what the world so desperately needs. Especially during this season, because I believe this is when the world can hear most of all. because there's a window of opportunity into the heart of people that are longing for something, of people that are looking for something, of people that do understand that there is something greater and something more meaningful in the world than just what we see every day. And if they see us honestly doing good works for no ulterior motive than to do good works, not in order to save ourselves, not in order to gain glory for ourselves, but to do them because that is just what we're supposed to do. If they see that, then they are more apt to hear and to respond themselves to the grace that is being given them. The fruit of good works. It's what we're expected to do. It's what we're called to do. Now let's go back to Jeremiah. We are to produce the fruit of good works. And in order to produce fruit, we must be attached to the branch. And here we pull the collet of today and the lesson of today together. Our Lord is the branch. God has raised up a righteous branch. We heard it in the song that we sang right before the sermon. God has raised up a righteous branch. It is to Him that we are attached. It is to Him that we give good fruit. We can do none of this on our own. We can do none of this outside of ourselves. We must do this as we are connected to our Lord, because He is our righteousness. So as we prepare for the Advent season, as we prepare for the Christmas season, as we look forward, we are called to do the thing that we are called to do every Sunday and every day. To rededicate ourselves to do what God has called us to do. Not in a big, miraculous, save the world type thing, but in the everyday instances to where we find ourselves. That our hearts, collectively, my heart, your heart, could be stirred up to do good. If we do that in our small sphere of influence where we are, if we do that, then others will see as well. I don't say others might see. I'm convinced that if we do that in our small sphere of influence, others will see. And they can see what this season is all about as well. It's more than gifts. It's more than lights. It's more than trees. The meaning of this season is that our Lord came into the world, the incarnation, to come to reconcile us unto God so that we can do what we were created to do. That is our hope. That is our calling. That is what we're here for. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.